is a Minotaur orb. This was a new experience. I was definitely not in a body that was equine at all. My host looked down and I saw a three-clawed hand clenched into a fist before spreading out, cloven feet beyond it.
What in the sorrel hells am I?
I thought before I remembered the sigil that had been on the memory orb. I was a Minotaur, but I didn't feel like any of the Minotaurs I had seen at Coldafield. My host was smaller, more lithe. It was an interesting feeling. My host looked about and I realized I had definitely been here before. It was Coldafield, but it looked fresher, newer and smaller. As my host walked, I noticed that the slave pens that had once littered the back area of the old stadium were missing. The Minotaur guards didn't wear power armor. In fact, there was none of the insanity that we had witnessed while we were prisoners here. My host stepped into the throng of Minotaurs that was milling through the large hall. At the far end, there stood a large setup of wooden benches and a statue of a grinning golden Minotaur. In front of the statue stood an older Minotaur clad in blood-red robes. His eyes gleamed as he regarded my host.
Scribe Bronze Fist,
the Minotaur spoke, nodding. My host knelt before the older beast.
Honored Elder,
my host said.
What is it that you wish of me? Our order has been honored this evening, young one. We have a visitor,
the Elder said, motioning behind him. My host glanced up past the old Minotaur, seeing a dark blue pony. It had a horn and wings. I realized that it was Pride, but she looked nothing like the Pride I had seen before. It looked more like Diamond. The Elecon stepped forward, bowing her head.
Scribe Bronze Fist, she began to speak softly. My name is Diamond Knight. I understand that you are the keeper of lore for the Cult of Iron Will.
My host nodded excitedly.
Yes, I am. What brings you to our humble dwelling? It is not every day we receive such a blessing as a visit from one of your kind,
he said. The Elecon blushed fiercely.
You are too kind, Lore Master, she said. Alas, I am here for business. I am seeking several documents that might contain some information on a few of the ministry buildings located in the city.
My host grinned, motioning for the mayor to follow him. The Elecon stepped behind the Minotaur as he led her through the halls of Coldafield. Eventually, we arrived at what appeared to be a library in an old locker room. Books were stuffed into lockers all over, as a final result, a mess of paper patiently waiting its chance to fall out of its precarious position. The Elecon smiled as she stepped up to one row, examining the reams of paper contained within.
My apologies for the mess, honored guest. I'm still in the middle of organizing this,
my host said. The Elecon smiled softly.
No worries, my friend. So, tell me, how does one with the name Bronze Fist become a bookkeeper? She replied.
My passion has always been for the teachings of the Great Iron Will,
my host said.
His work is a testament to the strength we carry inside of ourselves. We can all be great if we wish it.
And what of those within your order who think strength comes from conviction? From imposing one's will on others?
The mayor casually asked as she pulled out a large book from one of the lockers with her magic.
That is not how one strengthens one's life, my friend. True strength comes from within,
my host said, motioning to his own heart.
We must live each day head on, and strength will come.
Well spoken, Lore Master, Diamond said. I have a proposition for you, then. I am seeking some items I found referenced in text long thought gone to the world of today. I located them in an old mall near Canterlot. I would ask if you might consider helping me.
Why me, honored guest? As you said, I am but a bookkeeper, a dogmatic practitioner, nothing more,
my host said. Diamond's eyes gleamed as he looked back at me.
Because I believe that your true strength will one day show you the true path to enlightenment and you will share that message with the Wasteland. What I am seeking may be the most important find that will ever be found in this hellish pit we call life,
she said, a grin on her face. The Elecon motioned to my host to come closer.
My host hesitated for a moment and then stepped closer to the mayor.
You believe that I will be the one sharing the message of the cult?
My host asked, his voice shaking.
Indeed I do. I believe you will show the wasteland what true strength really is,
the mayor replied. My host pondered the eloquent words for several moments before finally nodding.
Show me what you have discovered,
my host said. The eloquent grinned, levitating out several scrolls. My host began poring through them, taking in their information. As best as I could tell, they were schematics detailing some kind of holding facility for historical artifacts. There were pictures of what appeared to be the statues that we had seen in the museum.
So, these statues, they're supposed to be magical emitters?
The Alicorn nodded excitedly.
Yes, they enhance magic, make it stronger. With them, I can do so much. We could finally get into Philly's tower, take control of the Minotaur's broadcasting station and actually do some good in this city, she said.
My host looked over the papers once more, cocking his head.
But these papers don't say anything about where these statues even are,
my host said. The mayor's eyes narrowed.
No, they don't, she replied. That's where you come in. I was hoping that you might be able to research these scrolls and assist in locating and accessing the artifacts.
I'm not sure that I can,
my host said. The Alicorn grinned, putting her hoof around my host's shoulder.
You can do it. I know you can. I have faith in you, she said. And when you do, you will be the most recognized spiritual leader the Cult of Iron Will has ever had. You will save this city.
I'll do it,
my host said. Diamond's eyes flashed in the light.
Excellent,
she said. I leapt around, dodging the red-hot death that was spewing forth from the turrets. I growled, turning Stargazer about and firing wildly. The bullets flew through the air, melting as the laser fire struck them and continued onwards to hit the ground at my hoofs. A blast of silver raced past my head as Violet leapt out from behind the corner, aiming Thunderflash at the nearest turret. The gun immediately spun about, firing a volley of lasers that deflected the beam's rifle fire.
Shit, they're tracking our gunfire,
I shouted, throwing up a shield as another beam came my way. The laser fire sizzled as it struck the shield, dissipating but taking a serious toll on the strength of the barrier. A second shot hit, destroying the shield completely. A third shot sawed past my head, singeing a few hairs off my mane. I barely missed getting a hole blown in my side from the fourth shot as I leapt to the side, firing another volley at the turret. The shots went wide, zooming past the turret and causing it to spin around to deflect them. As it spun, the laser blasts struck the other turret, causing the device to explode violently.
Violet, now!
I called to my love. Before the turret could return to firing upon us, Violet's blast of silver fire met my fresh round of bullets and destroyed the turret. With one down, we were able to overwhelm the other. Violet was the one to get the kill shot, a blast from her weapon flashing past the active defenses to melt the final turret into slag.
Got it,
Violet said, grinning as she replaced Thunderflash on its harness. The others stepped out from behind the corner.
Couldn't help,
I said sarcastically. Steeljack simply chuckled, rubbing the back of his head with his hoof.
Well, you see, there really wasn't enough room for all of us,
Patch interjected. I looked around, blinking. Sure enough, the space wasn't really that wide enough to fit all seven of us.
Ah, so there isn't,
I replied, turning to the door. I pushed on it with magic, forcing it open. Beyond, a musty smell greeted our noses. No pony had been in here quite a long time, it seemed. Rows upon rows of shelving extended into the darkened armory, filled to the brim with security lockers. As we entered, a series of lights began to illuminate, making the rest of the room visible. At the far end of the armory was a long row of terminals. I stepped deeper inside, keeping an eye out for any drones or more turrets. Instead, I heard a foul sucking sound that I knew all too well. The first ghoul to appear dove off the top of a shelving unit, snarling and howling. A quick blast of magic knocked it away and it gathered itself to charge.
A sharp retort erupted from beside me and the ghoul's head exploded in a shower of rotting flesh. Pat crowed as she lifted Parabellum, firing on a second ghoul that had leapt out from behind a row of lockers.
"Every pony, scatter and take them down!"
I called out, floating out Stargazer. Two ghouls crept out of the nearest row as my friends moved into position. I took aim and fired, splattering brains against the cold hard metal floor. I was beginning to get really sick of not having a working EFS. It was just plain annoying to get snuck up on all the time. From deep within the massive room, I heard the familiar crack of Steeljack's rifle. I growled as I blew a hole in another ghoul's body, putting it to the ground instantly. I stalked down the next row, wondering what it was that Cranky wanted us to find here. Was this just another trap? Was Cranky just using this as an excuse to slow us down even further? The sounds of my friends went quiet as I made my way back to the center of the armory. I saw Violet first, floating Thunderflash along in her magic.
"Was that all of them?"
she asked. I shrugged, looking again at my EFS. It was still non-functional.
"I doubt it, knowing Cranky,"
I replied, motioning to the row of computers at the far end.
"Let's check out the terminals, see if we can find any information on this place."
I trotted down the middle of the rows, stopping at the terminals. I tapped on the keyboard, the screen flickering to life and coming up to a password prompt. My friends stood guard, keeping an eye out for any more ghouls. I connected my pip back and fired up the password breaker. As I searched for the password, my eyes began to glaze over at the millions of lines of code on the screen. Finally, I hit upon the phrase "Chica Colta Go Go" and grinned. I input it into the password field and the main screen appeared. The only options to speak of were related to the armory itself, such as locker release and the main lighting systems. I began to poke around, trying to break past the main functions with my pipbuck. Nothing seemed to be working. I flicked a button, opening the lockers in the armory. A hissing sound from behind me indicated that the option had at least worked.
"See what you can round up from the lockers," I said. "Keep an eye out, though. Cranky could just be waiting to spring a trap on us."
I turned my attention back to the screen, noticing a flash icon at the bottom left of it. I tapped the screen to select it, bringing up what appeared to be some sort of radio application. A sharp, gravelly voice emanated from the terminal's speaker.
"Took you long enough to get here, kid,"
it said.
"Cranky,"
I replied.
"Would have been sooner if not for your little welcome party."
A dry chuckle came out of the radio. The ghoulish voice replied.
"You understand?"
"Right, down to business then. What is so damn important here?"
I asked.
"Why the armory?"
"Because there's something there you need to see. I just need to give you the right access,"
Cranky said.
"Hold on 1 second.
The screen began to scramble and shift before it was finally replaced with a more standard stable terminal interface. The radio application was still open, but now there were numerous more options available, including a map of the stable.
"There you go. There's an option there for a locker that is located in the wall. Press it."
I shuggled through the menus, searching for the locker option. After several minutes of hunting, I finally found it. I pressed it, hearing a hiss from the wall across from me.
"Got it,"
I said, noticing that my friends had returned. Violet stepped up next to me as Cranky spoke again.
"Take care when viewing them. You'll see things that you may not wish to know,"
he said.
"See you soon, kid."
The radio application closed on its own, beeping softly as the terminal returned to the standard interface.
"Was that Cranky?"
she said. I nodded.
"Yeah, did you guys find anything good?"
I asked. The green mare shook her head. "There was small firearms in some of the lockers, no ammunition, and the rest of them were pretty much picked clean," she said. I looked over at the locker that had extended from the wall. I strode over to it, pulling it open with my magic. My eyes widened as a soft glow emanated from inside the locker. I reached inside, lifting the small case out of the locker and setting it on the nearest flat surface.
"Are those what I think they are?"
Lust said, narrowing her gaze at the 7 glass orbs in the case. I nodded quietly. Inside of the small case were 7 memory orbs, each one marked with a sigil belonging to a specific race. Zebra, Earth Pony, Pegasus, Unicorn, Minotaur, Donkey and Alicorn.
They're memory orbs, I said.
This is what Cranky wanted me to find. I was pretty sure I knew whose memories these orbs belonged to. They had to belong to Pride and the others. I shuddered when my eyes drifted upon the orb marked with the sigil of the Pegasus.
Last,
I thought. How many more of her secrets would I learn here? Could I be honest with her about it and tell her what I would see? Would she be able to handle it? I realized I had fallen back on an old habit of mine where I had stopped paying attention to anything else going on around me as I felt some pony poking me in the side. I blinked, looking over at Violet.
Star, she said. You're right?
Yeah, I'm fine, I said. Sorry, just lost in thought.
Star,
a voice behind me said. I looked around, seeing Lust standing there. She was glaring at me.
Those symbols, those orbs, they belong to us, don't they?
I sighed.
Yes,
I said quietly.
Yes, they do.
Then what do you mean, darling? Danish interjected. You mean one of those orbs was a memory that belonged to Gluttony, and another belongs to last year?
I nodded.
That's correct. The symbols match up perfectly. This is what Cranky wanted me to see. He wanted me to see the memories,
I said.
He said that I would need to see them, to understand Pride better.
Lust continued to glare at me.
And what about my memories? Are you going to tell me what you see there?
She said. I met her gaze with my own cold stare.
I promise, I said simply.
I looked back down at the glowing orbs.
If you want to view them, I would make it quick, Star.
Nixis's soft voice came from next to Danish.
We will do what we can to ensure you are safe, but I fear this sloth character will not let us stay here for long. I can smell rot from beyond the walls.
I nodded grimly and turned to the orbs. My eyes drifted to the first orb, the one marked with the sigil of the zebra. I reached out with my magic and let my world fall away into nothingness.
The Donkey Orb. As the memory filtered in, I immediately took an asset of what I was. I was equine, for sure this time, but I wasn't a normal equine. I was a donkey. Not only that, my host's body felt odd. It was racked with intense pain that shot all the way from his hoofs to his ears, or at least what was left of his ears. Rotten ichor dropped from my host's body as he stalked the streets of the darkened city. My host sighed and turned down the next street. Dragging behind the old ghoul was a large wooden cart filled with metal trinkets and doodads. My host stopped as he looked up at the nearest building. It was the outside of theater. The two guards at the front of the club stepped forward, narrowing their gaze at my host. Their weapons were held loftily in the air, pointed at the donkey.
No funny business, or we'll put you out of your misery,
one of the guards called out. My host sighed slowly before chuckling.
Kid, you don't know how much misery there even is to put me out of,
my host's voice stated, the gravely tone echoing across the street.
Besides, if I had wanted to kill you, you'd already be dead. No, I'm here to trade.
Trade? What do you have to trade, old-timer?
The other guard said.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that, my host replied. Hold on a second, let me get myself unhooked.
He turned back, hitting a button on his harness which released the ghoul from the cart.
Ah, much better.
I suppose there's nothing wrong with a little friendly trade,
the first guard said, turning to the other.
Go get Granadin, would ya?
The other guard nodded and headed into the theater. A few seconds later, he emerged again with a large earth pony wearing a pinstriped suit. He wore the same confident grin I had seen him with in other memory orbs.
Howdy,
he said as he trotted up to my host, who was busy yanking bits and bobs from the back of his cart.
Name's Granadin. Boss, tell me you want to do some trade?
My host nodded silently.
What's your name? Don't recall ever seeing you in these parts before.
I travel. All over, actually. Name's Cranky.
My host replied, motioning to the small table he'd set up. Granadin moved to the table and began perusing the wares that my host had set out. He picked up what appeared to be a black headband with a socket in it.
What's this?
He asked. My host chuckled.
That, young man, is what they call a recollector. It lets ponies of non-magical nature like Pegasi and Earth ponies view memory orbs,
the donkey ghoul said.
It's an old pre-war thing. Some ponies think that Pinkie Pie herself invented them to be able to watch memories of ponies they interrogated.
Oh? And what do you think about that?
Granadin said. My host shrugged, his ancient shoulder blades grating against each other loudly.
I think some ponies spend more time theorizing about the past instead of paying attention to the here and now,
my host said.
And the here and now has me wondering if you want that little device or not.
Heh,
Granadin chuckled.
I suppose it might be something interesting to give to Diamond. She might have some use for it.
Diamond,
my host said, cocking his head. Granadin nodded.
Friend of mine. She's a mite reclusive, but she's a good pony. She's one of the Malicorns,
he said. My host narrowed his eyes at the Earth pony.
I tell you what, kid. You can have that thing if you can set me up a meeting with this Diamond,
my host replied casually.
I suppose I can do that,
Granadin said.
But why do you want to meet her?
My host coughed dryly.
Let's just say we are old acquaintances,
my host said. The Earth pony grinned.
Deal,
he said, sliding the recollector into his jacket. My host smiled as he began to pile the rest of his stuff into the cart. Granadin motioned to the ghoul.
Follow me, she doesn't live too far away from here.
The donkey nodded, hitching himself back up to his cart. The two walked in complete silence as they moved through the abandoned streets away from the theater. A small ruined bank came into view. My host unhitched himself from the cart, following the Earth pony into the abandoned building. Despite the bleak darkness inside, my host could clearly see the debris and rubble strewn about.
Diamond,
Granadin called out to the dark building.
You here?
A flapping of wings greeted the two, and a dark blue alicorn suddenly appeared in front of the Earth pony. He looked up, his eyes widening as he fell back on his haunches in shock.
Jeez, Diamond, don't do that!
The alicorn tittered.
Oh, come on, Granadin. You know how much I like it when...
she started to say as she caught the eye of my host. Her eyes narrowed in fear and hatred.
You, what are you doing here?
Well, gee, kid, is that any way to greet an old friend?
My host grated. Diamond snarled, igniting her horn and grabbing Granadin with her magic.
Hey, what's the big idea?
The Earth pony shouted as he found himself moved to the side.
Diamond glared at him. Get out of here! Leave this place now!
She yelled. Granadin stood shakily and ran, dropping the recollector to the ground as he did. The alicorn's gaze returned to my host.
What do you want with me? If you're here to kill me, then just get it over with. Luna knows I deserve it for the things I did.
My host chuckled as he turned to the side, picking up the recollector that the Earth pony had dropped in his teeth. He dropped it at the alicorn's hoofs.
Not here to kill you, kid,
my host said.
Besides, you know I wouldn't have given you any warning if I was.
The alicorn took a step back, looking down at the recollector.
Indeed, and my name is Diamond, not Kid,
she said, continuing to glare at the donkey.
I'd have thought you'd know that by now.
When you're as old as I am, every pony's a kid to you,
my host replied. He looked around the debris-ridden bank.
Nice place you got here. See, you've got yourself some friends. That's good.
Yes, friends. They've been very helpful to me,
the alicorn said.
And what brings you to the city of Tickercold? Last I saw you, we were in Canterlot and I was still a monster.
travel, trade. Got out of the whole wannabe hero business ages ago,
my host said, chuckling.
What about you? Why are you here?
The Alicorn sighed, turning away for a moment.
When my memories came back, I felt drawn to here for some reason. Like there was some part of me that needed to be here,
she said.
I have these thoughts. I'm not sure where they come from.
My host nodded, sitting creakily down next to the dark Alicorn.
I know what you mean,
the donkey replied wistfully.
Been this way for so long now, it's kind of hard to remember what it was like.
What was it like anyways? I've always wondered,
Diamond said.
It was nice. Regardless of what any pony said about the war, before all that everything was pretty good actually,
my host said.
I had friends. I had a good mare that I loved dearly. I looked for her for a long time after I died. Never found out what happened to her.
Really? Never?
The Alicorn said. My host nodded.
Maybe one of these days,
he said.
But enough of that. That buck who brought me here, what was his name? Granadin? He brought me here in exchange for giving you this recollector.
My host motioned to the device. The man nodded, lifting the device with her magic.
Looks as pristine as ever. I'm assuming that you have more trade?
She said. My host grinned and nodded again.
Excellent. Show me to thine wares, old friend. We shall make trade this day and perhaps you can stay a while.
I'd like that,
my host replied, a slow smile making its way onto his face. My eyes flashed open as I looked away from the memory orbs that had belonged to Cranky. The donkey was right about one thing that I had taken away from these memories thus far. Every time I'd seen Pride, she hadn't seemed to be evil. What had happened that had pushed her so far? Was she truly so desperate for validation from the others that she had taken the easy route? I didn't know. I looked down at the case of memory orbs, my eyes widening when I realized that one of them was missing. I had spent the better part of the last hour viewing each memory, telling the others that I would speak with them regarding their contents once I finished viewing all seven. I looked up across the row and gasped.
No,
I said softly. Sitting across the row with a black metal recollector strapped to her forehead was Lust. The memory orb with the Pegasus sigil on it sat snugly in the socket of the device. Danish and Nixie stood guard over her. Violet and the others stood in the middle of the row, keeping an eye on both of us. I stood frantically.
What happened?
I said. Violet looked up at me, fear showing in her soft green eyes.
We couldn't stop her. She forced her way through us and started watching it, she said. It's not good, is it, Star?
I shook my head, tears forming in my eyes. That was a memory that had most vividly stuck out in my head. The poor mare had nearly been raped and murdered, but was eventually saved by a pony who would go on to become an even worse threat to the wasteland. A pony who would convert her to a soulless killing machine. As I moved to shut off the recollector, Lust's eyes snapped open. Fear and anger glowed in her eyes as she yanked the recollector off of her head. She snarled, glaring hatred at me.
You,
she said angrily.
You lied to me.
The black mare stood up, shoving Danish and Nix's back with a swift flap of her armored wings. I glanced over at the others.
Get down,
I shouted before turning back to Lust.
Lust, you need to calm down. It's not what you think.
Patch and Steeljack dove into the rows of shelves, Patch holding Parabellum out. Despite the shouting, she seemed hesitant.
Oh, then what is it?
The mare said, pressing a button on her side. The bitch cycled out from its container. The persistent whine of the missile launcher emanated from the device.
Is it about how you lied to me? You knew, didn't you? I can see it in your face, before you even saw that. You knew about him, and you fucking killed him.
Lust, calm thyself,
I said forcefully. Lust growled loudly.
No, I will not be calm, the black mare shouted. I hate you! You took him away from me before I could even remember who he was!
That's not true, I shouted back. Who you saw in that memory, that was not Cutter. That was Greed. Pride's fucking with you, can't you see that? Everything in this place has been designed to screw with our heads.
Pride was right. Everypony else, they don't understand us. They hate us. If anything, it's been your fault all along,
Lust replied.
You brought me back to this place just to show me that you killed the stallion that I loved. Well, I'll fucking kill you instead.
She leapt forward in a blur, slashing with her wicked-bladed wings. One of them grazed me, drawing a thin line of blood from my side. I snarled in pain as I jumped back.
Lust, stop! I don't want to fight you, I exclaimed. Just calm down, we can sit down and talk about this, just trust me.
Trust you? Trust you? I did that, and look where it got me,
Lust said angrily.
No more talk, no more trusting, no more you.
She flexed her wings, launching at me with wild abandon. I lifted Stargazer as quickly as I could out of my harness, raising it to block the mare's strike. The wing blades hit hard, forcing the gun backwards into my chest. I gritted my teeth as I ignited my horn, quickly raising a shield to deflect the next strike. I expanded the barrier, forcing it out at the mare, knocking her into a row of metal shelving. The metal lockers buckled under the impact of the power armor-clad Pegasus, resulting in a huge dent in them. Lust stood shakily, growling loudly as she turned about, aiming right at me with a bitch. It began to whine as it circled in a missile.
Star!
Violet shouted as she dove in, slamming into Lust with all the force she could muster. Lust fell to the floor with a loud thud.
Violet, get back! Let me handle this!
I said. Lust snarled, pushing herself up quickly.
Yeah, little Miss Violet, she said, panting hard. You're just as much to blame. After all, you're the one who actually killed him.
She moved to strike at Violet with her wings. I reached out with my magic, halting the metal wings in mid-air. Lust's eyes widened as I picked her up with my telekinesis, tossing her out of the metal rows and into the open clearing of the armory. I trotted forward, stopping in front of the prone mare.
That's enough, Lust. Stop this and let's sit down and talk about this like civilized ponies, I said.
Lust groaned, pushing herself to her hoofs. Her eyes were filled with hatred and anger as she glared up at me.
Fuck you and your civilized pony ways. I'm just a weapon. That's all I ever was made to be, she said angrily.
You're more than that, Lust. I mean, Lilith, you have to believe me. I never meant to hurt you like this. Please stop this,
I said, tears filling my eyes. Lust's wings flared.
Don't use that name around me. I'm not Lilith anymore. I'm Lust, and I'm going to rip your lying face off,
she said. The bitch whined again as a missile ripped from its barrel. Lust's visor dropped down across her face. My eyes widened as I called upon my magic again. Shining Armor's shield spell shimmered into existence just as the missile struck, exploding in a violent blaze of color. The barrier rippled as it dispersed the energy released by the explosion and my horn seared in pain. I looked beyond the purple glow of the shield, noticing that the blast had only scorched the immediate area in front of me. Lust stood across the room. As her visor lifted, I caught sight of her eyes. They were filled with frantic rage. The mare was completely undamaged from her own attack, despite her proximity when she had fired the missile. Lust snarled as she launched herself at me, slashing like a wild animal at my shield. Each strike was brutal, the attack of a gifted fighter at the top of her game. I could feel the shield spell fading under her attack. At this rate, I wasn't going to be able to hold it more than a few seconds at most. Sure enough, the shield began to fade as my horn released the last of the magic held aside for it. I dodged to the side, narrowly missing another wicked slice from Lust's wing blades.
Lust, stop this!
I shouted, dancing about as I dodged another strike.
I'm sorry, but no matter what I did, I still believe in you. You can be better. I just know it. But you have to trust me. Let me explain what else I saw. You only have a snippet, a small piece of what you are.
I don't care,
Lust snarled, lunging forward and reaching out with her wings. I ducked as they soared over my head.
You know nothing about me. Not really. I'm just a weapon, a tool. Lilith, she never existed.
I was about to respond before I heard hoofsteps behind me. Patch stepped out from the row of lockers, tears flowing from her good eye. She stopped in front of the raging mare, silently dropping to her haunches. Lust stopped in her tracks, unwilling or unable to press her attacks through the green earth pony. Behind me, the others had stepped up, brandishing their weapons. I glared at them, motioning to hold back.
You're wrong, Celestia, can't you see?
Patch said, sobbing as she tried to choke out the words.
You're not just a weapon, you're my friend, Lust. And Star never meant to hurt you. She was trying to protect you. Please listen to me.
Patch,
Lust uttered. Her eyes widened as she took a few steps back. She lifted her forehoof to her head, her entire body shaking. I cocked my head. Despite her anger, the mare's attitude had changed from one of rage to one of fear in the span of a moment. It was as if the sight of her friend had stopped her rampage cold.
Lust, please calm down. We're not here to hurt you,
Steeljack said. Lust shook her head, almost as if she was trying to get something out of her ear.
No, no, please, get out. Get out of my head.
Lust stepped back, turning towards the door to the armory. The bitch whined again and a missile shot over our heads to obliterate the door to the armory. Lust leapt over us and sought towards the door.
Wait!
I shouted. Lust stopped in the doorway, turning back with a gleam in her eyes.
Oh, Ministry Mare, come and get her.
A voice that was clearly not her own called from the mare's mouth.
She'll be waiting for you.
Pride,
I said aloud, realizing what was going on. Lust's eyes flared red and she fled into the hallway. I looked down at Patch. The green earth pony looked just as confused as the others did. Without thinking, I shot past her and through the doorway.
Come on, we have to go after her,
I called back as I flared my wings, gliding into the hallway outside the armory. Lust was near the far end of the long drab hall, already galloping hard. I heard hoofs and paws behind me and I began to run, trying to keep the black mare in sight as she rounded the corner. The boring sameness of the stable flew by as my other friends tried to keep up. I pushed forward, using my wings as best I could to keep up speed in the cramped hallway. I turned the next corner, finding myself in the atrium of the stable. Lust had stopped just ahead. The black mare stood, facing away from us.
Lust!
I shouted. Lust turned around, a mad look on her face.
Ministry Mare,
the mare said. I could tell immediately that it wasn't her. It was still Pride. I growled.
Pride, let her go, I said.
Lust laughed coldly as my friends fanned out on each side of me. They looked unsure of what to do.
Why, you never seemed to care this much for her before now. It was her moment of weakness, Ministry Mare. I've been inside her head since she stepped in here, but it was you who gave me the opening I needed. And now Lust is mine completely,
the black mare said.
Why?
I growled.
Why do this to her?
Because the bitch deserved it. It was a mistake on my part, I suppose, to let her think she could be free of my mind control,
she replied, fluttering her metal wings.
Now then, I'm going to make her attack you. I'm going to force you to kill her.
Patch gasped from my side.
No!
She shouted.
Let her go. She never did anything to you.
She did everything to me,
Lust yelled, glaring at me.
You once asked me if I loved him. Of course I did, and I hated him. I hated him so much for wanting to share my gift with her, so I wiped her memory when I turned her. I made her my willing slave, my weapon.
You monster,
Patch replied, brandishing Parabellum.
Give her back,
my hoof shot out, cutting off the green mare.
Enough, Pride, let Lilith go,
I said. The other mare chuckled.
Nah, this is much more fun anyways,
she said, the visor in her power armor closing. The bitch began to whine as she flapped her metal wings, rising into the air.
Now, let's begin, shall we?
The missile ejected from the launcher, streaking across the atrium.
Every pony scatter,
I shouted, taking to the air myself as I reached out with telekinesis. I grabbed the missile, pushing the slippery projectile into the walls of the atrium. It exploded violently, ripping off a chunk of gray wall. Lust used the opportunity to soar straight at me, slashing out with her wicked wings. I dodged, almost evading her attack. A thin line of blood marked my coat on her wing blade. I roared in pain as gunfire erupted from below us. Curiously enough, the gunfire wasn't directed at Lust. I looked down for a brief moment, seeing more of those security drones entering the atrium. Lust cackled wildly in her armor.
"It's just you and me, Ministry Mare. It's amazing. You should really feel how much this Pegasus hates you," she said. "After all, you killed the stallion she loved so dearly. What did you see when you watched her memory? Did you see her pain and suffering?"
"I saw a good mare, one who deserves a second chance to be whoever she wants to be," I said coldly. "Now, let her go!"
I surged forward, catching Lust by surprise as I slammed into her side, knocking her to the ground in front of the fountain. I dropped down, landing on top of the black mare. She was attempting to push herself back up. I pushed down hard with my forehoofs, holding her down.
"Time for you to go, Pride. Get out of my friend's head before I make you."
The mare beneath me laughed wildly.
"Fuck you, she's mine,"
she said. I growled angrily and Lust laughed as the bitch began to whine.
"Your funeral,"
I said, reaching out with my magic and grabbing onto the mare's helmet. With a grunt of effort that hurt my horn like hell, the helmet wrenched loose, revealing the black mare beneath. I knew that Pride was controlling her mind, so the only logical place I could find to expel the alicorn was from within Lust's waking dreams. The mind dive spell activated and I fell away to nothingness. I blinked. I was in a dark room, one that I recognized all too well. The dark bedroom where I had watched Lust's memory of her capture by the raiders. In the corner of the room, curled up and shaking in fear, was a black Pegasus. She looked up at me, tears showing in her dark eyes.
Who are you?"
she said, her voice tinny and small. I realized that the voice belonged to the real mare, the one that I had truly gotten to know in her time with us. The real Lust. Lilith.
It's okay,"
I said softly, stepping up to her.
"I'm your friend. Lilith, it's me, Star. Do you understand?"
The mare nodded slowly.
"Why?"
she said.
"Why didn't you tell me?"
I sighed.
"I should have. I messed up. I'm a horrible friend. I should have told you about Cutter as soon as I knew,"
I said, slumping down to my haunches in front of her.
"And for that, I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry."
The mare looked away for a moment and then back to me. Her eyes flashed red.
"No,"
she shouted.
"You lied to me. You fucking lied about Cutter. You told me you didn't know anything." "I was going to tell you,"
I said.
I wanted to protect you. I wanted to help you remember on your own." "Fat lot of good that did, didn't it?"
Lilith spat.
"You wanted to protect me? From what? My own mind? My own memories? They're my memories, Star. You should have told me."
"I know,"
I said, pinning my ears back. Lilith's eyes flashed again. She snarled, striking my face with her hoof. I pulled away, rubbing my cheek. Even in the stream world, I could feel pain.
"I hate you,"
Lilith hissed.
"I hate you so much. You took him away from me. You lied about it too. You probably acted like some big fucking hero too, didn't you? The great and powerful Radiant Star. See how she ruins lives and destroys ponies' hearts."
"Lilith, I never meant it. I swear it,"
I said hurriedly. The black mare's eyes flashed again. Something wasn't right here. Was this really Lilith? Or was Pride playing with me like she had before?
"Believe me, I truly want you to be happy. You deserve a second chance." "I don't want your second chances,"
the mare growled.
I want Cutter back. I want my love. And you had to go and fuck that up.
I shook my head in fear. I wasn't getting through to her.
Luna, grant me the strength to help her.
My mind screamed as I reached out towards Lilith.
Please, Lilith, let me help you.
I begged.
Pride's still inside you and she's making you do this. She's making you say these things. No, Star. Pride isn't making me do anything. She's shown me the truth of things.
She replied, batting my hoof away.
She's shown me how fucked up you really are. How you claim to help and how you destroy lives in the process. Lilith, snap out of it!
I shouted.
I know you are angry and I know I messed up, but you have to trust me. I know what happened to Cutter was bad. I was there. I saw him die with my own eyes. He wasn't the stallion I saw in those memories, Lilith. The stallion in those memories was a good pony. He loved you very much and he didn't want you to give yourself up like this. And yet you killed him,
Lilith said quietly.
How do you justify that? I can't, Lilith. But what you don't understand is that Cutter wasn't really Cutter when we fought. He was greed. Pride fucked him up, turned him into her own little personal slave because she loved him too. Don't you get it? Pride has been playing you two since the very beginning,
I said.
She turned you into lust because she wanted you under her hoof while she got what she wanted the most.
Lilith stopped cold at my words. Her eyes gleamed in the darkness, flashing that same sinister red that had been the entire conversation. She smiled after a few moments.
Well played, Ministry Mare,
she said, a sinister laugh echoing from behind her. Lilith's eyes flashed again, the red leaving them for good as the laughter subsided. When Lilith looked up again, it was really her. I breathed a sigh of relief. The mare still had an expression of hurt on her face.
Lilith,
I began.
I know things got out of control, and I thought about what would happen if I told you. Would you have reacted any different? Would you have forgiven me so easily? No,
Lilith said.
I probably wouldn't have. Why does it change anything between us? Because we're friends, Lilith. Friends disagree. Friends get angry at each other. What you're feeling isn't anger, Lilith. It's hatred, and that's not you. That's not what the mare I saw in those memories would do,
I said.
That's Pride's influence. She was still using you, trying to force you back into her service.
Lilith's ears pinned back as she looked down at her hoofs. She was silent for a good amount of time before she looked up at me.
I messed up, didn't I? I let her in,
she said. I nodded.
So, how are you here then? I don't get it. Something I learned from a friend. Mind diving, spirit linking, call it what you will. I'm inside your mind. And we will have to get you out of here,
I said.
To do that, I'm going to need your help. What can I do against her?
Lilith said.
She's too strong, Star. I can't fight her.
I shook my head fiercely.
No, you can do it, Lilith. You are stronger than you think. And you have something she doesn't,
I said, smiling.
What's that?
The mare asked.
You have friends. Me, Violet, Patch, even Danish. We're all here for you,
I said, reaching out towards the mare with my forehoofs. She shied away for a second.
Look, I know what I did was unforgivable, and I don't deserve your friendship at all, but I want to help you. I've seen the real you, and she's a glorious, magnificent mare who's truly loving and warm.
Lilith looked up at me and lunged forward into my embrace.
I forgive you,
she said, tears spilling out of her eyes. She held me like that for a few moments before pulling back and wiping her face off.
Now then, you said something about getting out of here. That's my girl,
I said, pushing myself up off my haunches. I was helping Lilith up when I heard a cold voice come from behind us.
Oh, I don't think you're leaving,
Pride said. I turned around, glaring at the midnight-colored alicorn that was now standing in the doorway.
After all, the fun is just beginning.
I started to speak, but was cut off by the black mare beside me.
No,
Lilith shouted.
I'm through with you, Pride. I'm not your puppet any longer.
Psh,
lust. You never stopped being a puppet. You just traded one set of strings for another.
The Elecon tittered. Lilith stepped forward, flaring her wings.
That's shit pride, and you know it. Star may be an idiot and a liar. Hey now! Hush, Star!
Lilith said, shooting me a glare. She winked then before turning back to Pride.
But Star never tried to control me. She tried to protect me. Protect me from things like you.
Lilith shouted. The mindscape stretched and warped with the force of her anger, pulling Pride's Elecon form closer.
And another thing. My name is Lilith.
She shouted, surging forward at the dark Elecon.
Now get the fuck out of my head.
Pride snarled as she disappeared and Lilith flew out the door. I followed behind, keeping close as we stepped into the dark hallway. The long hall extended out in both directions endlessly. It almost reminded me of Twilight's crazy mind dreams. Pride's laughter echoed all around us.
I'm impressed. You're trying to be assertive. It's rather cute,
the disembodied voice said.
And you forgave the very man who killed your lover. I'm surprised. I thought you hated her.
Lilith looked over at me and smiled before turning back to the empty hall. We began to walk along, hoping to find some form of exit.
I don't hate her, she said. I'm mad at her still for lying to me, but I can get over that. What's more important is what you did to Cutter and me. Yes, I gave you a gift. Don't you see how important that gift was?
Pride replied.
A gift? You made her into a mindless killer,
I snarled.
You call that a gift?
Lilith nodded.
Why, Pride? Why did you do this to me? Why did you do it to Cutter?
The black mare pleaded.
I know that you secretly wanted him. Is that it? Was I such a threat to you?
Pride never responded. Her presence lifted from the air as quickly as it had appeared. I looked down at Lilith as we finally came to the end of the hallway. A large white door hung waiting.
And it all comes down to Cutter,
Lilith said.
I had him. Pride wanted him, and you just wanted him to stop from hurting others.
I said and nervously stretched out a hoof to rest on Lilith's shoulders. She looked up at me with a warm smile.
I still miss him, Star, but at least I know who's to blame for his fate. Pride. Yes, let's do this, Radiant Star, my friend.
And we embraced, a quick hug before we turned to face a pure white double doors.
So, I guess I'll be seeing you back on the other side?
I said. The other mare grinned.
I guess so. Thank you, Star, for everything,
she said. I smiled brightly as the connection between our minds severed and I fell back into the void once more. My eyes flittered open as I felt a hoof shaking my shoulder. I looked up, seeing the familiar black Pegasus sitting next to me. She had a soft smile on her face.
Hi,
she said softly.
You are right?
I nodded as I pushed myself up and looked around. We were still in the atrium. My friends had destroyed the security drones. Violet sat on my other side, a concerned look on her face. Patch and Steeljack hovered next to Lust, the former with her foreleg around her friend's neck. Nixies and Danish were off in the far end of the atrium, keeping an eye out for any more drones.
I'm fine, I said.
I was lying, of course. My horn still seared in intense pain, and now my body felt like it had been tossed through the ringer as well. I looked over at the Pegasus.
And you?
She grinned and nodded.
I'm fine. In fact, I've never felt better, she said. She's gone. For the first time in a long time, she's gone. Star, I'm free.
That's good to hear, Lust, I said. Oh, would you prefer Lilith?
I grinned, remembering what the Pegasus in her mind had shouted at Pride.
I think Lilith will do. I may be a Lilith without a Cutter, but I'm still her. And I know that you two didn't intentionally kill Cutter. Cutter died when Pride turned him into greed,
the black mare said. Patch leaned in, pulling her friend closer into a hug.
Lilith grinned widely at me. And I owe that bitch a world of pain.
You and me both, kid,
a voice from behind us said. I scrambled to get up as I looked back. On top of the ruined fountain stood Cranky. The donkey ghoul grinned, his rotting jaw showing through the heavy flaps of dead skin.
And you'll get your chance too.
Cranky, I said, cocking my head. What do you mean?
All this time I've only been trying to slow you down so you'd have some damn time to think,
the donkey replied angrily.
You saw the orbs, you saw what we were, and you know what you did to us, what you did to me.
But Matilda, Violet said. Cranky shook his head.
Bright never did have the power to save her. That's something I'm going to have to find out on my own. You were right, she lied to me. But I know something she doesn't know.
And what's that? Patch said.
Do you remember the swamp? Specifically, do you remember when I left you?
The donkey said whimsically. I nodded.
It was right after you hit me with your pink cloud, I said. But why?
It was a test. I had a hunch and I was right,
Cranky replied.
By turning me into this thing, this monster, she sealed her fate. She gave me the power to kill her.
The pink cloud, I said.
Cranky nodded.
Of course, it hurt me, so it would stand to reason it would hurt her too.
So what now? Steeljack said as Danish and Nixies rejoined the group.
I think perhaps we should be finding this pride bitch and putting her 6 feet under, the cream-colored unicorn said.
Cranky chuckled, a dry cough erupting from his rotting mouth.
You'll find her in a hidden sanctum below the Overmass office. She'll know we're coming. She always knows,
he said.
But first, there's one more thing you need to see.
His hoof shot out, a silvery orb held upon it. The orb held the sigil of the one memory I had failed to see before Pride had attacked Lilith's mind. The sigil of the Alicorn.
Pride's memory, I said. I'm not sure I want to see it now.
I think you should, Lilith spoke. If it's going to help us in the fight against Pride after all. I sighed and looked at my friends. They nodded encouragingly and Violet nuzzled my neck softly.
It'll be all right. We'll keep watch over you while you're in the memory, she said.
I looked down at the silvery orb and latched onto it with my magic, letting the world fall away once more. The Alicorn Orb. I knew immediately that I was in the body of Pride, but even I could tell that this wasn't the Pride I knew. It was a mare I had seen in all the other memories, Diamond Knight. The Alicorn had a white smile on her face as she tapped at the brightly lit terminal in front of her. A cursory glance around revealed that she was sitting in the office that she and Avara had discovered in the Ministry of Arcane Science Hub. Lines of code scrolled down the screen as my host scanned the screen.
Come on, what are you hiding in there?
She muttered to herself, tapping another key. She looked back at the footlocker sitting behind her. Nothing. My host sighed and returned her gaze to the terminal.
I don't get it. I've tried everything. Nothing opens this damn thing.
My host groaned, turning away from the keyboard and staring back at the locker. Her horn lit up, reaching out to take hold of the magical device attached to the lock on the chest. The lock began to glow fiercely, surging with power. My host grunted as the magical feedback from the device began to devour her energy. It was a defense mechanism to prevent the lock from being opened with simple telekinesis. A stray thought floated through my host's mind. She had tried this already and had failed. But there was something else. Nothing else had worked on the lock. Whatever was in the chest was so important that Twilight Sparkle had made it impossible to open.
Impossible is for the weak,
my host snarled, gritting her teeth as she poured more magic into her horn, trying to overpower the magical feedback. A vivid pain seared my host's forehead as her horn glowed brightly, illuminating the room with a soft blue light.
Come on, come on, come on!
Power surged out of the device, trying to keep up with the Alicorn's magic.
the color of the lock changed from a blue to a deep and angry red. My host's eyes widened as the lock exploded violently, knocking the dark alicorn to the ground. Everything went to black for a few moments.
My head,
my host said as things came back into focus. She sat up, rubbing the back of her head. Smoke drifted from beyond the desk where the chest had been. My host stood up, trotting over to the smoldering remains. The chest was the source of the smoke, now smoldering wreckage surrounding its original location. My host's eyes widened. Seven blue statues stood on the metal floor. They looked as if they were intact, undamaged by the explosion. My host's gaze drifted down to the first statue, one of an alicorn. Instinctively, my host reached out, touching the statue with her hoof.
Oh, Sempony awakens me after all this time,
a voice said in my host's head.
What? Who's there?
My host said aloud.
An alicorn? Oh my, how the times have changed. Tell me, young one, what year is it?
The voice replied.
Year? It's around 200-some-odd years since the war ended,
my host said.
Who are you? The war ended? Who won?
The voice asked.
No pony won, the bird lost. Since then, we've had a hellish radioactive wasteland that's become our homes,
my host said. The voice chuckled.
No doubt that it was pretty Princess Luna who caused the end of the war. I'm not surprised. And now, after all this time, my essence is awakened,
the voice said.
I am grateful for this. I feel as though I should be gracious and give you a gift.
A gift? What kind of gift? Are you in the statue?
My host said, looking with incredulous eyes at the object still in her hoofs.
I can see your deepest desire, young one. You wish to be important. You want every pony to worship you. You want power. You want to rise above all,
the voice said.
I can give you this and more.
Why, how could you know these things? What do you get out of this?
My host questions, feeling frightened by the disembodied voice.
Because you freed me, and for that I shall bestow the power I once wielded upon you. The power to enter minds, to influence dreams, and to manipulate,
the voice said as the dark blue energy began to pour out of the statue, engulfing the alicorn mare. Lightning arced over her body as the energy began to seep into her skin. Thoughts and images seared into the mare's mind, along with emotions. My own mind cringed at this. The emotions were among the most powerful, most negative things I had ever felt in my life. They tore at my host's mind, enhancing it and at the same time, corrupting it. After several moments of pain and torture, my host opened her eyes.
I can feel it. Such power, such amazing power. I can see it all so clearly now,
she said. I shuddered at the sound of her voice. This was pride in all of her corrupt glory.
I shall seek vengeance for what the world has done to us, and the entire wasteland shall know me as their true goddess. Excellent, my loving subject. I expect no less,
the voice said. My host made to stand, gathering up the statuettes in her magic and setting them in her saddlebags. As she turned, another voice, this one real, stopped her.
Diamond?
The small voice said. My host looked across the room, seeing the zebra Evora standing there. Her eyes were filled with tears. It was the first look I had gotten at the zebra from outside her head. Her eyes were a vivid blue and her body was lithe and strong. A black and white curly mane extended from her forebrow down her neck.
Are you all right? I was on my way to see you. You weren't at your home, so I figured you'd be here, but then I heard an explosion.
My host smiled.
I'm fine, Evora. I finally got that chest open,
my host said, her voice returning to her normal tone.
You'll never believe it.
The zebra's expression changed to that of surprise.
You did?
She said. My host nodded as the other mare trotted over.
That's great. What was inside?
My host smiled, opening up her saddlebags to reveal the statues inside. Evora's eyes widened.
You mean they're real? All that work we've been doing and they were actually real?
She said. My host grinned.
Yes, and once I'm done studying them, we'll be able to save the wasteland,
the Alicorn said.
It's all we ever dreamt of, Avora.
The zebra leaned in, hooking her hoof around the Alicorn's neck.
I'm so happy for you, Diamond. I knew you were right, I just knew it, she said.
My host shook off the affectionate behavior and stepped back from the zebra, prompting an expression of confusion.
Diamond, what's wrong? Nothing, Avora, I already told you this,
my host said, raising one of the statues out of the bag. It was the one of the zebra.
In fact, I appreciate your friendship so much that I want you to have this.
Avora cocked her head.
Are you sure?
She said. My host nodded.
Of course. What sort of friend would I be if I didn't? You've spent so much time helping me after all,
the Alicorn replied. Avora chuckled nervously.
Well, you see, that's because, well, oh gee, how do I say this?
The zebra stumbled over herself as she stared into my host's eyes.
I really like you, Diamond. I love you even.
My host remained silent.
I know that you probably don't feel the same way, but you deserve to know. That's why I was coming to see you tonight.
I see, the Alicorn said.
I had no idea. You're my best friend, Avora. I don't know that I...
Avora hung her head silently.
I get it, I really do. You're not interested. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have brought it up,
she said. Her eyes drifted up to the statue.
You can keep it. I don't deserve a nice gift like that.
My host grinned again.
On the contrary, my dear friend, you deserve it more than any pony else,
my host said.
Please, I insist.
The zebra reached out, hesitant at first, but decided that the reassuring look on my host's face was enough. She touched the statue, the dark energy pouring out of it as she did. Her expression quickly changed to that of fear.
Diamond, what is this?
She started to say as the energy engulfed her body. Lightning and power seared across the zebra mare. She howled in pain, falling to the ground. My host smiled as she stood over the zebra.
Yes, give her your blessing, your gift. Share it with her,
my host said. The voice in the back of her head cackled wildly as the energy finally lifted from the zebra mare. Arcane bolts glowed upon the surface of her skin, disappearing as she began to stir. Her eyes flittered open, the bright vivid blue replaced by the familiar green that I knew her for. She stood, and I could tell that she was no longer Avora by the way she carried herself. A savage grin flashed across her face.
I'm at your bidding, my queen,
she said, bowing deeply before the Alicorn mare. My host smiled widely.
Your devotion is admirable. Now, we have much work to do to spread our message across the wasteland, but we cannot do it alone. We must share our blessing with those like us,
my host said.
From this day forward, I am no longer Diamond Knight. No, Diamond is dead, as is Avora. We must forge new names for ourselves, ones that better represent our blessing. I will do whatever you ask,
the zebra replied.
Excellent. From this day forward, you shall be known as Envy,
my host said.
For within your green eyes hides the soul of the jealous ones. Thank you, my queen. And what shall I call you?
Envy said as she looked up at my host.
Pride.
I came out of the memory feeling groggy but rested. My mind buzzed with thoughts over what I had seen. Pride really was a victim of something that felt evil in the most basic of ways. Something had lived in those statues and had taken her over, forcing her to share this so-called blessing with those closest to her. I had thought originally that greed was the first one that Diamond had converted, but now I knew that envy was the first. She had forced a mare who had loved her truly into servitude. Why then had envy left her mistress aside? Was she like the others? Had she started to remember who she was and what pride had done to her? I realized that Pride's control over them must have been very tenuous.
Perhaps it was a fact that she had split her blessings up in so many ways.
Star, are you all right?
A voice beside me broke me out of my thoughts. I looked over, seeing Violet. She had Thunderflash out and had been cleaning it. I smiled.
Yeah, I'm all right,
I said, pulling myself to my haunches. I looked back over at the fountain, seeing Cranky and Lilith sitting there.
I need to speak to Cranky.
I stood, trotting over to the two. Cranky's red eyes seemed to drift upwards as I approached.
Kid,
he said.
Cranky,
I replied.
So, there was something behind those statues, something that was even controlling and corrupting Pride. She was just as much a victim as you and the others were.
The ghoul donkey nodded.
Diamond was obsessed with those things. She knew that they existed somehow. I keep thinking that maybe whatever it was pulling her to them. Like it wanted her to find them.
He said.
I doubt that there's any piece of her left.
I will be the judge of that, I said. I have an idea. If I can knock Pride out enough to perform a mind dive spell on her.
That would be incredibly dangerous,
Cranky said.
Pride is a master of mind manipulation. She could force your mind out of its body.
Good, because I haven't had that happen to me at all, I said sarcastically. Been there, done that. Got the horseshoes.
Cranky raised an eyebrow suspiciously.
Long story, don't ask. I'm done with waiting and planning. It's time for action.
I looked over at Violet. She nodded as she began to pack away her things. Nixies and Danish stood nearby, ready to go as ever. On the other side of Lilith were Steeljack and Patch. The two lovers had determined grins on their faces.
We're ready,
the gray-ass pony stallion said. I nodded, latching Stargazer onto its harness. Cranky stood and took up the front position to lead us to the Overmare's office. We stepped into the far hallway, walking silently through the dark gray halls of the stable. As we walked, I thought about everything that had led up to this point. I thought about Spark, Pride, Lucky. My mind sought over thoughts of Cranky. Lilith, Evora, Granadin, and even Cutter. Even the bookish minotaur, Bronze Fist, tumbled over in my mind. I knew deeply that I had to do something for them. I thought about my friends. Would they survive this? I had to do everything in my power to make sure that they did. I had to stop Pride, but what would I do once I got inside her mind? Was there still a piece of Diamond Knight, the kind and confused Alicorn that I had seen within their memories? And what was I going to do about Spark once I finally confronted her? I still had no clue.
We're here,
Cranky's gravely voice grated over the quiet. We stood in front of a simple door marked Overmare. I snorted. It didn't totally surprise me that Pride would place herself in a place where she was above every pony else. The donkey ghoul pushed the door open and we stepped inside. The office was bare for the most part, filled only with a simple desk, a terminal, and a wall locker. Cranky moved over to the far end of the office, stopping in front of the locker. He tapped a few buttons on its lock, causing it to recess into the wall and open. A large spiral staircase appeared from beyond the secret entrance, curling away into the darkness.
Pride keeps her sanctum down below. We should be prepared for anything,
Cranky said.
I will try take her by surprise. You will only have a few moments to knock her out.
I nodded.
Every pony else, hold your fire unless she tries something. I want her alive,
I said to the others. They nodded in agreement.
As far as Spark is concerned, Pride has her under lock. If everything works out with Pride, I'll be able to take care of Spark afterwards.
And if it doesn't?
Patch asked quietly. Violet shuddered against my side.
I don't know. Stop Pride, stop Spark.
In silence, we moved single file down the ancient metal staircase. As we descended, the metal changed to stonework. A soft light emanated from below.
A long time ago, before Chica Cult was built, there was an ancient civilization that lived here,
Cranky explained as we walked down the stairs.
At least that's what the history books said. They built the city on top of the ruins, never knowing what lay below the surface. StableTech built it stable underneath the city, including an access to the ruins in case any pony needed to go further underground to escape the death from the skies above.
And just what was the stable's experiment? I asked quietly, my curiosity piqued now. From one of the memories, Evora had a stable jumpsuit.
The stable's experiment was rather simple,
the donkey said.
Multiculturalism, just like the city above that supported it. Every race had a place in the stable. That's why it was so big. Pride described it to me out of Evora's memories.
The point was to promote working together? Violet said. Cranky nodded as we continued down the stairs. It seemed like they went on forever. The light from below began to grow in intensity until finally it was bright as day. Torches lined the walls as we reached what appeared to be a stone landing. At the far end of the landing was a set of large stone doors. Two massive torches sat on each side of the doors. I stepped forward and pressed upon the stonework with my magic, forcing them open. We moved into the darkness, ready for anything. The room beyond was enormous. Bolts of fire ringed the circular room. In the center of a large stone disk surrounded by giant pillars. My eyes were drawn, however, to what was above the center of the room. Floating high in the air were two ponies. They appeared to be unconscious, gleaming purple chains holding them in place. One was an alicorn with a black mane and purple coat. The other was a pony with wings and a horn. One that I knew quite well.
Lucky, Spark?
I said quietly, my eyes widening. My gaze drifted from the two spectral mares down to the pony in the center of the stone. A midnight-colored alicorn waited for us as we stepped forward. Her eyes were closed. As I pulled myself up to the disk, they flashed open.
Welcome, Ministry Mare. Welcome to your death.
Pride said, her wings flaring out.
Pride, I said coldly.
I nodded to my friends as they fanned out behind me. Cranky nodded as he began to move into place.
We meet for the last time, the alicorn said. Ah, and I see you've brought the slut and the donkey with you. Sloss, I'm surprised that you would turn on me so quickly.
I'm not doing this for the Ministry Mare Pride. I'm doing this for Matilda. You never could release her,
the donkey said.
Now I will give you no quarter. You are finished.
Cranky searched forward, expelling a violent blast of pink substance from his mouth at the alicorn. Pride snarled and unleashed a wave of magic, deflecting the cloud to the ground. I looked up at Lucky and Spark. They would have to wait. I leapt towards the mare, unlatching Stargazer and taking aim. I fired a torrent of bullets, beating my wings as Pride looked up. She raised a shield, dissolving the bullets into nothing. I pressed on, crashing into the mare and forcing her to the ground. I locked eyes with the sinister mare as I focused on my mind dive spell.
Well, you think you have the upper hoof, do you? Pride said, grinning.
Her horn flared to life, picking me up in her magic and tossing me aside into one of the pillars. I hit hard, coughing up blood as pain flowed up and down my body. I pushed myself up in time to see Cranky moving on Pride's other side. He pawed at the ground, spewing forth more pink cloud at the alicorn. Pride grinned as she slid aside, ushering the corrosive cloud past with a flicker of magic. Gunfire echoed across the room as Patch and Steeljack made their move. Their shots were intended to distract, not wound or kill. Pride snarled, firing two blasts of concentrated magic at the two Earth ponies. The blasts hit quickly, knocking the two to the ground with grunts of pain.
Steeljack, Patch!
I shouted as I flared my horn, teleporting next to the two. Patch waved me off as I appeared.
We're fine, you worry about her, she said.
I nodded, turning my attention to Pride and Cranky. Lilith sought in on Metal Wings, taking aim with a bitch. The missile launcher's whine was hungry as she fired. Pride looked up and latched onto the projectile with her magic. It exploded before it ever reached her, knocking Lilith out of the air into one of the pillars. I flared my wings, pushing myself forward.
I landed next to the other alicorn, striking her across the face with my forehoof.
Enough of these games, Pride. Release Lucky and let me deal with the other one, I said angrily.
Pride laughed as she whipped around, hitting me in the chest with one of her back legs. I grunted in pain. The so-called spark of magic, I will see that she is properly taken care of, she said. As for the other one, she's nothing. She died once because of your failure, and she'll do it again just fine. I growled, whipping Stargazer around and slamming it into her stupid lying face. The blow sent Pride to the ground, howling as she struggled to get up. Before she could move, I straddled her, grinding her face into the ground with the business end of Stargazer.
This game is over, Pride, I said.
My horn ignited with fury as I cast it, holding Pride as the connection between our minds was made. The sanctum appeared, except that instead of my friends and Cranky, I stood alone with Pride and the two prisoners. They were at ground level in here, though. Their purple chains glinted more than the flickering firelight could account for. Pride growled as she shoved me off of her, making her way to her feet. Stargazer hadn't come in with me, more's the pity.
I knew it would come down to this, Pride grumped. You and me, we're the same, you know. We want the same things.
No, Pride, we don't,
I said coldly, turning my attention away from the prone mare for a second.
Lucky, can you hear me? Are you all right?
The green mare nodded from her confinement. Her expression was one of sadness.
I'm all right, but I'm sorry, I messed up,
she said. I shook my head.
No, you didn't. You only did what you thought was right. If you hadn't followed Spark, if you hadn't met the Smooth, if you hadn't left me your gift, I would have been broken, I said. I wouldn't have made it this far. Thank you, my friend.
I glared over at Spark.
And you? What about you, Spark? Said that you finally met your match?
The black-maned alicorn scoffed.
Please, as soon as I'm out of here, I'm going to find a much better host, she said scornfully. Or at least one who knows how to treat an honored guest.
The spark of magic sat, rattling her purple chains. I had to stifle a completely inappropriate giggle as I turned back to Pride.
Now then, I've seen your memories, and of those you corrupted. So tell me this, where is Diamond?
I said. Pride was standing now, looking more confident and powerful.
Diamond, that mare is dead. She was a coward. A freak filled with memories that never were hers. I killed her and took her place.
No, there's still some pieces of you that belong to her. Otherwise, you wouldn't have wanted to hurt Lilith as badly as you tried to. Diamond, listen to me. You can stop all of it,
I said, holding out my hoof. Pride slapped my hoof away, snarling.
There's nothing that you can do to help me now, Ministry Mare, she said, flaring her horn.
A blast of energy shot forth from it, soaring past me and striking Spark's chain. The arcane bond shattered, freeing the dark alicorn. She dropped to the stone ground, stretching her wings and grinning widely. Pride glared at the element.
Time for you to make good on your promise, Spark. You wanted my body? Well, I'm giving it to you.
Spark grinned as she stepped forward.
No!
I shouted, turning back to the element of magic.
I cannot allow that to happen, Diamond, please. If you're in there, please listen. You cannot let Spark have your body. You will be under her complete control, no mind of your own. It will only be her.
And what if that's what I want?
Pride growled back at me.
I want her power. I want Diamond Knight to disappear forever.
Spark moved out of the corner of my eye faster than I could think. I knew I couldn't keep track of both of them. Pride cackled wildly. I expected Spark to be there, to take over. A burst of magic behind me caught my attention and I spun around. Standing there, holding a vivid green mare in her black magic, was Lucky. Spark was on the ground in front of her, having been knocked down by the mare's sword.
I'll hold her off,
Lucky shouted.
You take care of what you need to do. I'll keep this one under control.
Lucky?
I said, flabbergasted as Spark began to stand again. She snarled at the green mare, lunging forward only to meet the flat of Lucky's magical blade. Spark reeled at the strike, stumbling away with little grace. The Alicorn lifted herself off the ground, forming her own blade.
"I'll be fine, you take care of Pride,"
Lucky called back. She surged forward, slashing at Spark with her blade wildly. I turned about, nearly catching Hoof in my face as Pride struck. I leapt back. I wasn't sure how much control I had in this dream world. I had to trust that Lucky could take care of herself after all. There was more immediate concerns to deal with. I focused on my magic, forming my own magical blade.
"Diamond, please, you still have a chance to stop this," I said.
Pride snarled, summoning her own blade.
"No, what's done is done. Diamond is gone. There's only Pride now, and Pride will be your downfall,"
the mare shouted, rushing forward. I lifted my blade, deflecting her strike. The Alicorn pressed on, pounding at me with her own sword. Her horn flared, trying to trip me by pulling on my legs. I pushed back, slashing down to break her focus. Her blade came up, blocking it easily. The sounds of battle behind me indicated that Lucky and Spark were still fighting. I dodged to the side as another strike came my way, barely missing me. I responded with a counter slash, slapping away Pride's blade. I fired a blast of energy from my horn, hitting a shield conjured up by the blue Alicorn. She scowled, bringing her blade back up.
"Why do you persist, Ministry Mare?"
she asked, lunging forward with a thrust.
"Because I know that there's some good in you, Pride. Diamond is still there, somewhere,"
I said, deflecting the strike.
"Your memories showed me as much. I know what it's like to not know who you are sometimes. I've been living Twilight Sparkle's memories now for so long, I can barely remember who or what I am. You have no idea what I felt like. When the goddess died, my memories didn't come back like yours. Mine were a jumble of multiple personalities. There never was a pony named Diamond Knight. I made her up, thinking that I could find semblance of sanity in this fucked-up world,"
Pride replied angrily. She was keeping back, waiting to find an opening in my defenses.
"That's not what I saw. I saw a mare who wanted nothing more than to help this world. She wanted to be kind, and she had friends. She was also loved,"
I said.
"But you were deceived. That thing inside you took that away from you,"
Pride laughed madly.
"No, Ministry Mare,"
she said, slashing at my side with a magical sword.
"It gave me what I wanted. It gave me the power I needed to take what I desired. I desired Cutter, and so I had him. I desired to turn Lilith into a simpering, groveling little bitch, and I did it."
I brought my blade around, matching hers blow for blow as we danced back and forth.
"You're wrong,"
I said, swinging my sword around and locking it into a fierce grapple with Pride's own.
"You laughed, Cutter. You couldn't stand the fact that he didn't love you. And so you gave in to temptation. You let yourself be corrupted." "Fuck you. I did what I had to, which is what I'm doing now,"
the Alicorn replied, trying to shift her blade out of the grapple. I growled, flaring my horn and holding my own sword steady. I knew that Diamond was still in there somewhere. I just had to reach her. I had to get rid of the corrupting influence there. I had to do something, and fast. I summoned what magic I could and struck hard at the mare, pulling her legs out from under her and putting her head first into the stone. She groaned as she passed out. The form of the world around us began to start shimmering away as I stepped over her. This was Pride's dream world after all. It wouldn't last too long if she was out cold.
"I'm not going to kill you. No, I can't. That wouldn't be my style after all,"
I said simply as I looked down at the dream mare.
"After having seen what I have, I know that there's something else there, something else that was controlling your actions. And now I'm going to end it."
My horn flared and I reached deep inside, searching for something, anything that was out of the ordinary. I found it easily enough. The dark energy that had come from the statue radiated throughout the mare's mind like a parasite. I snarled as I overloaded with magic, feeling intense pain rolling from my horn as I tried to eradicate the darkness. It wasn't working. The darkness fought back, attacking me with vicious fury.
"No, I will stop you,"
I thought as I pushed back.
A sinister voice growled at me from within the darkness.
You think you can stop me, pathetic fool?
It said.
I am darkness incarnate.
Come on, Diamond, I know you're there. Please help me stop this.
I thought.
Think about Evora, about Granadin, Cuddle, Lilith, and Cranky. Think about Bronze Fist. Think about your friends. They stood behind you once. Let them be the source of your strength.
I howled, trying to keep the darkness from pushing me out.
Evora?
A different voice rang out in my mind. It was a timid voice filled with fear.
I remember them. All I ever wanted was to help them all.
You fool!
The darkness replied.
You are mine and mine alone. You only live at my whim.
Diamond, listen to me. You can help them like you wanted, but you have to help me. Help me beat this thing and I promise you that you'll see them again.
I thought.
I can't. She's too strong.
Diamond's voice said.
I'm too weak.
No, you're not weak. Feel the strength of your friends, Diamond. Feel my strength. Let it help you.
I thought.
Please.
I groaned under the stress of the spell. My horn began to shimmer and I could feel my magic fading along with the dream world. Before it could, though, I felt Diamond's presence begin to bolster it. The mare was fighting back. The magic began to flow once more and I gritted my teeth.
That's it. Keep going, Diamond. You can do it.
What are you doing?
The mare said, the fear evident in its tone.
Stop that! Stop! You've controlled my life for too long,
Diamond shouted, her voice more confident.
And now I want you out!
Light poured out of every part of Pride, finally expelling the dark power. A scream tore a path through my mind as the darkness left the mare's body. I shuddered as I fell backwards, hitting the ground hard. My eyes closed for a brief moment.
Star!
I heard Lucky shout. I opened my eyes and looked up, seeing the green mare holding her blade against that of Sparks.
Get up, you can't give up now.
Every inch of me hurt, but I still tried to stand. Finally, I managed to get onto my hoofs and I looked down at Pride. She was out cold, it seemed. I ran over her with my magic, looking for any trace of the dark energy that had consumed her. There was nothing left. I turned my attention back to Spark, who grinned, her form a concrete point of reference in the wavering mush of a faltering dreamscape.
One more thing to take care of,
I thought, groaning.
Oh, too bad. I guess that means I won't be joining with her after all,
she said.
Too bad, too. I liked her. She was my kind of evil.
Spark,
I said shakily.
We've been through a lot, you and I. I was told that once I confronted you, I would have to make a decision. A very important decision that would affect everything. I was going to have to decide whether to kill you or save you.
You never could make a decision to save your own life, Radiant Star.
The black-maned Alicorn chided.
Besides, you don't have it in you to kill me.
I nodded as Lucky watched the two of us talk, her magic blade at the ready.
You're right,
I said.
I don't have it in me to kill you, that's why there's only one thing left to do. I've taken care of Pride, this metal construct of hers is breaking down and will soon be back in the real world. Spark, you're just as much a victim as she was. She never deserved this life and neither did you. You were twisted by nightmare. That was never your fault. Yes, but it did happen, didn't it? And the others, they never stopped to think if I needed their help or not. They tried to murder me in cold blood.
Spark spat.
Maybe so, but that doesn't excuse your actions. You tried to hurt every pony. You destroyed Twilight's life, her brother, everything, just to gain immortality.
I said.
And I think I've finally figured out what I'm going to do about it. And what's that? Pout, whine, cry about it?
The Alicorn replied.
No, I'm going to let you merge with me,
I said. Lucky's eyes shot wide open.
You're going to what?
She shouted. I nodded. Spark grinned widely.
Really now? Just like that?
The dark mare said.
I must admit, I am surprised.
Star, you can't do that. Remember what happened last time? This won't work like that. She'll take over completely.
Lucky said frantically. I nodded.
I know, but I have to do this. I have to try and save her, to redeem her, I said. Equestria needs the element of magic. They need Spark.
Spark chuckled.
Yes, you see the truth of it now, don't you?
The Elecon said, pushing past Lucky and stepping right up to me. I gazed into her cold eyes, nodding.
Promise me one thing,
I said, prompting the mare to cock her head.
And what's that?
Spark asked.
Leave Violet and the others alone when this is all over. I want you to go where no pony can find us,
I said. Spark considered this for a moment. She finally nodded.
Of course, I will leave your mare friend alone as you request,
she said, placing a hoof on my shoulder.
No,
a voice from behind her said. Lucky searched forward, tackling the dark Elecon to the ground.
Star, I can't let you do this. You'd be sacrificing yourself for nothing. You're letting her win. Lucky, don't you see? She's my responsibility. I let her out into the world. I have to try to help her. I have to purge the corruption from her,
I said. Lucky sighed.
Take me,
she said softly, looking down at Spark.
Take me instead. What?
I shouted.
No, no, you can't. You don't even know what that will do. I know it will save you, and that's all I care about,
Lucky said. She glanced over at me and smiled.
Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. After all, you don't owe me anything anymore. Yes, I do. I promised you. I promised that I would get your body back,
I exclaimed. Lucky shook her head.
You don't need to do that, Star. Let go and everything will be all right,
she said, tears welled up in my eyes.
I can't do it, Lucky,
I said, choking the words out through my tears.
I failed you. I let you die. It was my fault. Star, you silly filly,
Lucky said softly.
You want me to know why I joined you in that ministry, huh? Why I was in that bar that night we met? Because I was destined to. A long time ago, a wise pony told me that one day I would meet a purple mare who was like me, but not like me. She also told me very clearly that she would need me when it mattered the most. Well, it matters now, Star. You need to live. I don't. I've been stuck as this non-pony for too long. It's time for me to be free.
She looked back down at Spark, allowing the mare to stand.
Do it, quickly, before I can change my mind.
Spark glanced over at me first and then nodded. Her horn ignited, ensnaring the green mare in her magic.
Let it begin, then, she said, grinning. Not what I expected, but whatever. At this point, I'll take what I can get.
I stepped forward, intending to stop the two, but ran face first into a dark purple shield. Spark tittered.
Sorry, Star, but you can't stop this. We'll have our confrontation soon, I promise. And I will still choose to save you, I said angrily. If you hurt her, though, I might change my mind. She will not come to harm,
the dark Elecon replied.
That I will promise you.
She turned to Lucky, flaring her horn and grabbing a hold of her shoulder. A brilliant light emanated between the two as both ponies disappeared. White light began to boil through the rolling fabric of the sanctum. The world finally broke apart and my connection to Pride's mind finally severed. My eyes opened with a flash of white as a bright light erupted in the air above me. I heard my friends calling out for me, but I could only focus on one thing. Lucky and Spark were still floating in the air, but they were now overlaid against each other. The two spectral ponies began to shimmer as they merged together. Gasps from my friends indicated that they could see them as well.
Lucky!
I shouted. The green mare looked down at me and smiled as she faded into Spark's magic. Flesh and blood began to seep into the spectral image, coalescing into a green Elecon mare with a jet-black mane. Her eyes glowed in unnatural white as she regarded me.
Radiant Star,
the new pony said, grinning.
This new form is one that suits me well. I half expected to be a spectral pony like your friend.
Spark,
I said, cocking my head. The mare nodded. I shuddered. What had I done?
Why did I let Lucky take my place? I had just given Spark physical form.
And Lucky too,
the mayor replied.
We're both here. I'm not totally sure how it works, but it is what it is. And now it's time for me to leave. I have things to do after all. Should you wish to see me out, find me where it all began. I shall be waiting for you.
The mare shimmered in place, disappearing into thin air.
Lucky! Spark!
I shouted. It was no use. They were gone. I felt a hoof on my shoulder. I looked down, seeing Violet standing there.
What do we do now?
She said. I shook my head, looking down at the ground.
I don't know, Violet. I don't know.
Footnotes. Radiant Star, maximum level reached. Quest perk. The Life of a Sinner. You've seen the memories of the sins, giving you a better understanding of their lives. Your perception has been increased by +1 and you get a +10% increase to all perception checks. New perk. Luck and Spark. Your magic has increased to incredible levels thanks to your experience with Lucky and Spark. Your magical capability is increased by 20% and you get a +10% increase to hit a target with magical spells. New spell, Mind Dive Rank 2. You can now use the Mind Dive spell in combat. Violet Iris, level up. Steeljack, level up. Patch, level up. Quests completed. Bride of Chickercold, Lucky's Lament.